there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
So please make sure to cheer very loudly for Wendy Zukerman and Joel Werner.
Hey, Wendy here. So over the past few months, supervising producer Joel Werner and I have been traveling around Australia performing an episode of Science Versus live in front of real life people, if you weren't sure what a live show is. So just a few weeks ago, we were at South by Southwest Sydney, which is the first time that the South by Southwest Festival has been held outside of Austin, Texas. And a few months before that, we braved the chilly Tasmanian winter to perform the show at the Beaker Street Festival. And that's what we're going to play for you today. Okay, we have got it. This is great. We're going to have fun. Let's jump in. Science Versus live at the Beaker Street Festival in Hobart, Tasmania starts now. Quote, an 88-year-old man was found dead at his home with a genital wound and part of his penis missing. You got that? 88-year-old man, dead, wound on his willy, part of the penis missing. This is how a case report that I read years ago began. And since I read that report, I have not been able to get it out of my mind. We've never shared it on the show before. And now I get to share it with you all and this guy.
That's like, I've never seen a paper like that. It sounds like one that would come up in a sensational magazine or something.
It's a CSI episode waiting to happen for sure.
Yeah.
This is Professor Jeff Craig. He's a geneticist at Deakin University in Melbourne, Australia. And he is going to walk us through what happened here. What struck you as you were reading it?
I thought, ouch, as all men would do. But then I thought the word why and how.
Because here's what's weird. Apart from the dead guy with his missing bits, there were no other injuries to his body and no signs of a struggle. So what was going on here? Had the man been killed? Perhaps some kind of sexual play gone wrong? Well, there was one possible clue. The man's pet dog was in the house. Could the pup be responsible? Was it part Cocker Spaniel? Jeff, our geneticist, wondered the same thing.
Did the dog attack him when he was naked and then he died, or did he die and then the dog just looked for a tasty morsel or something?
The officials on the case sure wondered whether the dog had nibbled the dead man's knob. Or, as the case report asked, could the dog have been, quote, responsible for the partial emasculation, end quote. Now, we know that if you die, your pet dog, aka best friend, may chow down on your still warm remains. In fact, a review paper on the topic wrote that, quote, animal mutilations can start rapidly after death, generally within a couple of hours, and sometimes even sooner, end quote. But curiously, according to the paper, which analysed 41 human corpses that had all been nibbled on by their pooches, mostly the dogs weren't going for the willies. In fact, in about three quarters of the cases, they went for the face. So you can think about that next time your fur baby gives you a little lick on the face. Perhaps they're just whetting their appetite. But bottom line, one of the going theories was that the man had died of natural causes and then the dog bit his willy. But to see if this idea was on the money, the forensic scientists on the scene gave the pooch an emetic, something to make it vomit. And voila, out came a piece of connective tissue about the size of a hazelnut, they wrote. This hazelnut-sized chunk of flesh, it looked a lot like the missing piece of penis. But to be absolutely sure, they did some genetic detective work. Using a trustworthy genetic test, the team compared the DNA of the nut-sized bit of tissue found in the dog to the dead man. And, like, this was going to be a pretty short day at the office, right? It seemed pretty obvious what had happened here.
Either before or after death, this dog bit the end of the guy's todger off.
You'd imagine that everyone was expecting a pretty short day, you know? This was going to be a match, another dog, another day. But that is not what happened. According to the DNA, those tissue samples looked like they came from two different people. I talked to geneticist Jeff Craig about how he'd feel if he had gotten the call from the lab saying that the DNA wasn't a perfect match.
And so if you were sort of the forensic scientist on this case, what would you have thought in that moment?
In that moment, if I was a forensic scientist, I would have thought, well, the dog must have eaten part of another man. Some foul play, yeah, some kind of weird ritual with two men and then one of them disappeared. oh, my God, the mind boggles in a number of ways.
The mind sure does boggle. Because, I mean, just to explain this whole mystery again, it really means that one other person, a stranger, perhaps a murderer, came into the house, bit the dead guy's willy, and then the dog chewed off some of that guy's flesh. Or, as Jeff suggested, perhaps it wasn't an intruder. Perhaps there was just some kind of sexual thing going on and just maybe it went terribly wrong.
You've heard of people from emergency rooms saying you wouldn't believe the stories I've heard of some of the men that have come in with a bit of penis missing or something.
Things stuck in various places. Yes.
Yeah, I fell on a vacuum cleaner, things like that. But then when the X-ray shows that there's a Barbie doll in there, you know, then, you know, you didn't just fall on that in the shower.
No, you didn't just fall on that in the shower. So what was going on here? Whose nut-sized tissue did the dog eat? And where was the rest of this man's todger? Before sounding the alarm, the officials on the case took some fresh DNA samples. You see, the first time around, they only swabbed one spot on the guy, as you'd normally do. But this time, they...
sample cells from lots of different places.
They took samples from his skin, blood, muscles, spleen, bone marrow, brain, liver, and then they reran all the genetic testing. And what they found is that this guy, he had two sets of DNA. We're only supposed to have one set of DNA. You know, that's the whole basis of genetic testing, right? You have one set on your hands, on your blood, in your willy, liver. It shouldn't matter where you test it. Your DNA is your DNA, right? Well, not in this case. The DNA samples from the knob of his penis and cheek were different to the DNA samples from his blood. The DNA in his left leg muscle had a different profile to the muscle in his right leg. As Jeff says,
there was a true mixing of cells from basically two different people.
All squished into one person. And science has a word to describe this man. He's a chimera. The word comes from Greek mythology, where the chimera was a fire-breathing monster made of different animals. Three heads, one of a lion, the other of a goat, and then there's a snake somewhere in there. But in this case, it's just a regular guy, someone whose body is made of cells that are genetically different. So how the heck can this happen? Well, Jeff says that this all would have started when this man was growing inside his mother's womb. Now, under normal circumstances, what's supposed to happen is that a sperm and an egg get together and that fertilized egg, well, it starts growing and its cells start dividing.
Those develop into little balls of cells. These balls of cells multiplying and producing lots of cells that are exactly the same. Just early, early cells.
And by the way, Jeff told me something super cool about these little balls of cells that turn into humans.
Those ball of cells have a structure on the outside which is like an eggshell, and it hatches. When I saw this, first of all, I thought, blow my mind. I didn't know that humans hatched from eggs as well.
No, I didn't. Does it really look like that? Like the hatch, like a little chicken?
It does actually. I've seen it happen, pictures under a microscope. And yes, there is a kind of crack in the hard kind of shell.
Whoa.
And out comes this kind of soft body inside, this soft kind of ball of cells. It's really cool.
So these soft balls of cells, which have been fertilized for maybe a week, normally they would attach into a place in the uterus and grow there into one happy baby. But a couple of things must have gone differently for our chimera. Perhaps on that fateful night when his mum and dad stooped, instead of one egg getting fertilized, two eggs were fertilized by two different sperm. And that meant you would have two fertilized eggs growing and dividing, two balls of cells, two sets of DNA. So far, so good. Now, often when this kind of thing happens, when these balls of cells hatch and then attach to the uterus, they attach into different places on the uterus, giving room for the two separate fetuses to grow. Here's Jeff.
Most of the time, they just grow in peace and happily live side by side.
And ta-da, you get two babies. That's how we get fraternal twins. But with our deceased chimera man, Jeff reckons that the two balls of cells must have implanted into the uterus close, like too close, kind of squished right next to each other.
So if they touch each other, if those two individuals get a bit frisky and...
Oh, Jeff, no.
If these two individuals, say they end up sleeping back to back, they can swap cells. That's a hypothesis. So they swap a few cells.
Catch that? These blobby siblings can swap a few cells. And by the way, for the development nerds out there, we're in the blastocyst stage. And the thing is that when the cells swap, they bring their DNA with them, right? Which could explain how someone could get different DNA in different parts of their body.
Yeah, even if just one of those cells swaps, then that one cell's descendants could end up almost anywhere.
It's even possible that after sharing some cells, one of the blobby siblings died. This is a phenomenon sometimes called as the vanishing twin. Or perhaps instead of just swapping a few cells, the blobby siblings completely fused together.
Then the two twins become one individual.
And one individual with one head, two arms.
Yes, you're at the early stage where there's no organs or anything. So it doesn't matter if you mix cells together. It's like giving it twice as many cells because early embryos are very adaptable and plastic. So it doesn't really matter to them that some cells have swapped. They just make do with what they've got. You know, one or two cells might go to form an intestine. You know, one or two more cells might even go to form a right leg and then a left leg.
And so that is how one person can end up with two sets of DNA. And Jeff says that this dead guy might not have even known he was a chimera. In fact, a lot of chimeras go undetected because you need to get a DNA test where you test more than one bit of tissue. And often we don't do that. There have been cases of people discovering their chimeras later on in life, sometimes when they need to get an organ donation. And curiously, we keep discovering more and more ways that you can kind of be a chimera, even if you didn't share some cells with a twin in the womb. Like one study of almost 60 women who had given birth to sons found that almost two-thirds of them had male DNA in their brain. The authors said that the male DNA probably wiggled its way into their brains when the women were pregnant, suggesting that when you carry a baby, the DNA of your kid might get into your body. And Jeff says that this could go in the other direction too, that cells from our mothers could move through the placenta and land on us. Which brings us back to the man found in his home with part of his willy missing. While Jeff's like, this was one rather peculiar case report, he sees something bigger here.
It's amazing. It is an amazing story. And I think it does tell me, not that particular situation with the dog, but there may be more chimeras going around the world unnoticed. So it could be much more common than we think. It could be, this could happen quite a lot.
We could be chimeras? We could be.
Yes. Yeah, we could be. And I used to, when I was a child, I used to have this recurrent dream that there was another one of me lying beside me.
Really?
It is, you know, still now plausible that I started life as a twin and my co-twin disappeared early on. And I've mentioned this to a journalist before and it ended up as the headline, the first line of the story. But
don't worry, the first line of this story is going to be like, man found without his penis.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious, yeah.
So, we've ultimately cracked the case of the curious incident of the dog and the dead guy with the dismembered dong. Try and say that fast three times. The most likely scenario here was that this man, who was a chimera, died of natural causes, and then the dog ate his willy.
To hear more from our live show, you've got to check out our full episode. It's in our feed right now, so you've got to just search for Science Versus in whatever podcast app you're using. That's Science VS. And then click on the episode When Your Eyes See Lies. There's two other really, really fun and wild stories that I think you're going to love. So just search for Science Versus in your podcast app and then click on the episode When Your Eyes See Lies. I'm Wendy Zuckerman. Fact you next time.